Come on, Lord.
Amen. That was very good. Have any of you ever took something out and burned it?
Yes.
Susan and I did just after we got married. That's quite an experience. Went through the house and we took and looked for things that gave us pride and prompted arrogance, and we took it out and with the church and threw it on the fire and burned it up. I know the personal story of some here that did something similar, but they were maybe wiser. They took it out and sold it and gave it to the Lord. You do know that the secret of all that is after you do that, that you don't get proud and arrogant that you actually did it. We have to be very careful. I got a lot to get into tonight, several different things I want to talk about. Look in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 and 3 first. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Most of you know this verse. It says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit of the man of all his labor which he has taken under the sun?" And keep that in the back of your mind. I hope that I'm going to give a little bit of my testimony, and this should come into play at that time. How do you give a testimony over 36 years in the missionary field, and then I was saved at a very young age? But what is, I think is important is what got us to the mission field. Some of you know some of my story. I was a little bit driven with a lot of desire and passion. I had this vision that I was going to be the biggest farmer in Michigan. And to do that, we farmed for 6 months in Michigan, and then I packed up the furniture and everything, and we moved to Texas where I built apartments so that we could afford to farm. You don't do farming on at that time with the profits of farming, because there wasn't any. But and so I had this big vision, this big thing going, and we were back and forth. Susan and I lived in 22 different residents. Some of them was the back room of Nelda's house. Some of them was in the daycare of her house. Different houses in Michigan. 22 different houses in 10 years. My dad always made a big joke. They says all I had to do was whistle and our furniture would follow us. Michael was in 3 different kindergartens because we moved and then moved and then moved back and different places in different kindergartens. So his education is, poor education is my fault, I guess. But at any rate, so I was driven. And I had just bought some farms, and I had bought me a big tractor, and we had some bad years. We had the year, I was telling somebody just yesterday about how corn is germinated. It doesn't have a bee that germinates it. You've seen the silk on the top of the corn, the little hairs that hang down, them are straws. Them are hollow. And the pollen falls off of the tassel and comes down, and that little silk, that straw, sucks that pollen in and germinates one seed. One silk, one seed. And that's what that's for. I just had 90 acres that year I had probably 350 acres. 90 acres of that came out the silk, nice and fresh and soft and evidently very tasty, to the rootworm beetle at the same time he hatched. And they ate all that silk off before it germinated. And I had stalks of corn. You wouldn't believe how beautiful they were. And the ears were long. And I never went and peeled back the husk. And I'm picking, and I've got the best crop ever coming in. And I can't get across the field, and the combine's full. And I'm so happy. And I make a round, and I hit a different variety of corn, which germinated at a different time. When I got to the end, there's no corn in the thing. And I said, this is terrible. What happened? My combine's broken. And I run around the combine 2 times looking, where's the corn coming out? And then I walked into the field and pulled back, and there's not a kernel on any of that corn, 90 acres. So we had some bad times. But 1 year, it was going great. It hadn't been better. And I was picking corn, and it was coming in. I'd already done the navy beans, and they were great. And I'm counting off on the side of the combine the wagon loads I'm sending out. My mom's driving the wagon loads to the to our dryer system, and I know what each one of those are going to be worth, and I'm counting them out, and now I'm going to buy another tractor, and I'm going to buy another farm that was for sale across the road from me. And I'm so excited about all that, and the Lord talked to me just like I'm talking to you today, and he said, and so what? Vanity is vanity. All is vanity. If you get your dream come true and you're Mike the Grab Acre and you've got all of Michigan under cultivation, what have you done in life? I finished up that field and was heading to another farm where I had another field to pick, and I just knew that things had to change. And at that time, Susan was coming down the road looking for me with my meal, and she did not bring me sandwiches. It was roast beef with gravy, and it was always a meal. One time she showed up with paper plates, and my dad said, "What's this?" "It's a frisbee." We wanted china, and we were working. We wanted food, and we wanted it on a nice plate. And she drove up, and I got off the combine, and I says, "Well, as soon as we get done picking the corn, we're going to get ready to go to Mexico." And she says, "Yeah, I know. We're going to go down and visit our parents. We've been down there the two winters prior and helped Dale get set up, moved in his house the first winter. The second winter, we helped get the film ministry going. And this time, we're going to go down." And I said, "No, we're moving down." And she bawled and cried. I had a house almost finished. I was building her a house. A two-story house. She got to pick out all the colors and it was right next door to the school where her kids were going to go to school, and we were going to settle down finally, and we're going to sell that. 2 days later, I'm in the house working on it, and a guy I went to school with come up and he says, "I want to buy this house." "Okay. It's yours." "I don't want you to finish it. I had it ready for the kitchen and paint the walls." And he says, "I want to finish it the way we want it, and I'll buy it from you just like it is." I said, "It's yours." And we came to Mexico. Vanity is vanity. What you live in your life for. What was I living my life for? The second thing I want to talk about is a little bit what's going on with us. Like Susan said, we've had some rough years, like many of you have. I've had leg surgery here that took a year to heal. I had cancer. I just did another surgery on my other knee and all that. And in the middle of all that, the common economy and our business in Mexico has gone to big negative numbers. Well, we're right now in the process of negotiating a sale. Hopefully the 25th will actually sign and be paid and be out of it. It won't be what I hope for, but I should be paying this guy to take it, and so hopefully that'll be gone the 25th, and then we can be more concentrated in what we want to do in Pachuca. Like I said, we moved a lot. We moved a lot in Mexico. I don't want to move anymore, and so our plan is to stay in Pachuca. And I won't be an elder there, but I will be there to be a part of the ministry. I will be preaching and teaching what I can, what I know. And that's our plan for the future. We don't plan on coming back unless Venezuela turns into, or Mexico turns into another Venezuela. As you know, we've had a new president. And this guy is super, super crazy. And the people are crazy. They want everything free, and he offered it, so they voted him in with a huge percentage. But on top of that, he got 74% of the Congress. So we have a dictator, and he's got nothing holding him back, and especially common sense. I don't think he has any. And so we'll see how that goes. Okay? So that's where we're at this moment in our ministry. We have a couple brothers that are really starting to root in Pachuca. We started out with a group of that came into the church and they started to profess their salvation, and it was like the wind came and blew them away. no roots. And then the second congregation came along, and we got several, and some of them rooted, and a good portion of them turned into thorns, and we had, and they're gone. But now we've built back up. There's 25 or 30 adults that are, that have been faithful, that are taking on the ministry. They keep sending me, pictures of them downtown preaching. And, like Susan said, you got the ladies are going now to this hospital where the government health care is terrible. You can't go in to see your sick person, your family member, only three times a day for about 10 minutes, only one person. And, but you have to, somebody has to be there at the hospital in case there's an emergency to call you. And so everybody stands outside and waits for, in case they get called. And so it's a tremendous opportunity. And the lady's been going down there and witnessing, dealing with him. So that's been a real blessing to us. And, we're looking to get into having more of the digital exposure. The tracks now have a website page, and we're looking for someone that has that as a burden to deal with that and work with that as well. Pachuca's a hard place to preach. It's usually cold, and people don't sit in a park like they did in other cities. They're going from one warm place to another warm place, and they aren't going to stop very easy. So it hasn't been as well. The other day I was preaching, and I actually had a pretty good crowd, and they were listening and talking, and it felt really good. But a lot of times it's just somebody running by, and you try to catch them, and you might get somebody to talk to you. But so you pray for us. We want to keep the ministry public and in view, and and let the Lord have his way on that. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 22. What I want to talk to you tonight about is something that Brother Dale West preached several years ago, and it came up today as I was talking with Meemaw, Nelda West. If you don't know, that's my mother-in-law. She's been my mother for 47 years. We talked a little bit about it and just brought it all back in it. And so I'd like to share with you, to tell you about the message that Dale gave. And his Isaiah 22 in verse 13 and 14. 22, 13 and 14, and it says, And behold joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of the hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from ye till ye die, saith the Lord God of the host. And then look at 12:19, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And one more in 1 Corinthians 10:7. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them. It is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. For those of us that are not going to be taken out in a rapture, we have a decision of how we want to be taken out. It's not an accident that we go in a certain way. Here these people decided that they're going to go out playing. You get to decide how you want to go out of this life, and how you want to be known, and how your testimony is. These people decided to play out. And that's what we see in the world, and we see in a lot of Christians. There's no seriousness of life. There's no seriousness of eternity. And it's all fun and games. We had a brother in Mexico that thought that his messages had to have everybody laughing. It was always a fun time. I was supposed to follow him in a men's conference one time, and I knew that he was going to preach first, and it was going to be a stand-up comedy. And I had something to say that was pretty delicate to the men. And I went and asked the one who was organized, I can't follow this guy. I can't go in with the message I have behind a clown. That's a lot of Christians. The world's that way.
Amen.
But we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be playing out our days in this life. Amen. God has given us something so special.
Amen.
Eternal life.
Amen.
And the message of how to get it to people so that they can have it also. We have not only the responsibility, it's the great opportunity to do something meaningful.
Amen.
Because as I read first, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. But yet we're playing it out. And those Christians that live their life just playing it through, just getting through it, enjoying the time in this earth and having no eternal vision, are going to be a very sad person when it comes judgment day. Talks about some tears in heaven, 30 minutes worth, right? Give me some time when we're going to say, why was I playing so much? And that's where I see a lot of Christians, and I see that in my life. Get distracted by whatever, my business. Get distracted by whatever pastime that gets me going at it. And I lose the convictions that I once had. Went to Mexico, I couldn't speak the language. I had no vision that I would ever preach in Spanish. I didn't preach much in English. I went to help missionaries so that they could do more. That was my original intent. And that was a goal I had. I wanted to be that armor bearer.
Amen.
Some of you might remember that message just before I went. The armor bearer is a very impressive man. He had no vision of his own. You realize that? He said, I will go to the fullness of your heart. You got a vision. You see what God wants you to do. I'm here to help you make your vision.
Amen.
We need a bunch of people like that to say, I'm not here to play around, but I don't have a vision. I'm going to get behind somebody.
Amen.
You know of General Sherman of the Civil War. You know he was offered to be the commander instead of Grant? You know what he said? I'm not the lead man. I'm the second man. I want to make the lead man successful. Now there's some here that have the vision and the drive. They know what needs to be done. But there's a lot of us that don't have that same vision. So what do? Play around? No, I want to be that armor bearer. My vision is to make that ministry successful.
Amen.
There's things going on that I'm not really, I don't know why we're doing that. I'm not that driven to get that done. But this brother is. God's blessing this brother, this sister. I'll be that person that stands behind them. And I will do what I can do to make them successful.
Amen.
The other way that you can go out is you can go rusted out. And this is where most Christians stand today. My mother-in-law, I just noticed it today, she's got in the backyard a wheelbarrow that's set there since you've had the house. And it is rusted out, the handles are rotten off, the tire's flat, of course, and rotted out. It hasn't been used, and how come it's such bad shape? It just sat there and rusted out. There are so many Christians that have so much potential, or had. So many Christians that God gave them gifts to use for His glory and the edification of the church, and they decided to sit underneath the tree and let themselves just rust away. That wheelbarrow is useless. I can still tell what it is. And there's a lot of Christians, like, yeah, they're Christians, but they're useless. They're just rusting away.
Amen.
Are you rusting away?
Amen.
An example I had the other day came to me real clear. I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing and bring tears to your eyes of joy instead of pain. And I wish my son could come up here and we could sing together and just be so wonderful. It might happen in heaven. You know, miracles do happen. It might happen in heaven. But the other day at the Freeborn Church, he stood up and sang a special with a microphone. And I thought, what a waste. So many people in that congregation that could have used that time to bless us with music, and they wouldn't get up and do it.
Hello.
That was a shame. If you were there and you could hear that he'd had no tune and no rhythm, you'd been better off up. You could have done better up there because you could at least hear it was wrong. I had a quartet when I was in high school, a Christian quartet. It's the only place they would let me sing, I'm sure. The three guys that were with me were about my age, and they had a voice. They could sing, and they were so quiet. They just were so timid. I've got a mountain just over the hilltop. And I'm going at it, man. I'm just really going at it. And the whole place is laughing, and they're crying. I got this lady who's playing the piano, and she's doing as much as she can to try to cover me up. We were in demand. I kid you not. We sang in probably 10, 12 different churches. They called and said, we'd like that quartet to come. Well, you're having a stand-up comedy night. I don't know. And those three guys with me could have sung and been on tune and in rhythm, and they wouldn't do it. There's gifts here in this church.
Amen.
You know that the gifts given to the church are not things. They're people. You got a gift? Are you letting it just rust out? You're letting it just turn into to useless metal, that wheelbarrow? You could peel off the sides of it and crumble it up. All the good it could have done. My brother-in-law bought a car. A 1970 Oldsmobile W30. There are not many of them made. They're worth a lot of money today. He bought that car 2 years ago. The guy that owned it went to school with me. He bought it, put 16,000 miles on it, and put it on blocks in his barn and covered it up with a big tarp or something. Sat there for 44 years. That car should be in good shape, right? 16,000 miles on a very a rare car, and it's been set under a shed in on blocks. He had to go in there with sledgehammers and beat the pistons out. The whole underside is rusted out. He had to grind it all down and go through the process that they do to try to fill it up without using Bondo, because that's a no-no That's what's happening to Christians today. God gave them something precious, something valuable, something, and they're sitting there letting it rust up, freeze up. There are a few people that have gifts that are natural. Sandy, before she could see the top of the keys, could play anything you wanted. She still can't see the top of the keys, but... Mike Stanzo's boy. He don't need a lesson. He can do that. And there's some that have that. Some people can stand up and actually preach and give a message that stirs your heart. Praise the Lord for that. But most of us have to work on something. And because you can't naturally get up and do it because you're going to be trembling and scared. From the time I was 12 till I was 19, I stuttered uncontrollably. It took a lot of work to be able to stand up in front of people and say something. My wife, my Susan, came along and gave me confidence, and most of that has gone away. Thank you, Susan. Gifts are being wasted. I'm a lover of tools, and it just hurts me to see tools being misused and thrown around. People got a nice shovel and they take it over and just lean it against the tree and forget it and come back and it's all rusted. And take care of your stuff. God's given you something and you should take care of it, brothers, sisters. And God's given you a place where you can use it. This isn't the kind of church where you've got your spot to set and that's all you do is come, set, and leave something in the offering plate. You're expected to be part of the ministry. One of the reasons the churches that I've been involved with that haven't grown very much, most of them don't like the pressure of being useful. They come and they see the freedom, the salvation by grace, and they get saved, and then we start saying, you know, there's a responsibility for you to edify us. You should stand up and give us something to edify the church. Oh no, I just come here to get edified. And they move on. And they end up in an organized denomination where they're not expected to do that. Just show up and fill the seat and give your offering. We need people that are, see, I have a gift given of God and I'm gonna define it. I'm going to, make it useful and I'm gonna give it out. And if you do that consistently, then you come to the third person. The person that goes out of this life worn out. Amen. I thank the Lord for some people that I know that wore themselves out to bless me. Amen. I think of Brother Dale. Amen. His entire life till the day he died was trying to bless someone else, to give glory to God and give a blessing to others. He wore himself out physically for us. Brother Lindell. Amen. He ain't quite shuffled off yet, but he's worn out. Amen. The guy can't stand up. How did he get that way? Taking care of us. Amen. I think of Verlene. Amen. Godly, godly woman. Concerned that we grow up giving honor and glory to the Lord. My mom. She's worn out. Do you know that she's here every moment she physically can? To hear us stumbling around trying to preach? To give us a kind word? We need more people willing to wear themselves out. Amen. Who's going to take care of this church when these worn out ones are really gone? Where are you in this? Just playing around, playing church. Just enough to quench your conscience that I'm not terrible, but I'm not... But I'm not dedicated. Amen. And I'm not giving out. I'm eat, drinking, I'm being merry. Well, we're going to die anyway, so might as well be happy doing it. You can be happy winning souls. I've had a taste of it. You can be happy being a blessing to someone else. I don't have a lot of success down there in Mexico, but there's a few people that when I come up, they are glad to see me. Had a part in their life. And there's so much gift that's just rusting away. Just rusting away. But who am I? What can I do? What are you, Moses? Who am I, Lord? I'm nobody. No, you're a child of God that has been given a gift and the opportunity to do something for eternity. And if you took that and wore yourself out, the reward in heaven would be the only thing greater than the reward that you receive by doing what God demands on earth. It is a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous feeling to know that I've done what God has told me to do. That's satisfaction. Planting, buying another farm, planting some more corn, beating the beetle that eats, had airplanes come in the next year. Boy, we got rid of them guys. That was nothing to seeing people get their whole life turned around. That they proclaim that I am saved, born again, and I am on my way to heaven with Jesus Christ. My children are going to be instructed in the Lord. And it's a real blessing to see them take what God has given them and use it to bless someone else. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs. Chapter 31, some verses that you all know, but I'd like to read these. It's quite a few of them. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships that bring forth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, and yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all the households are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself a covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she will rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Some of you, you don't know that today is my wife's birthday. When I was conquistando, the first night I met her, I told my sister that I was going to marry her. And she's been this in my life. And I knew that was so because one of the reasons I stuck around and wanted to marry her, because I was told, you want to see what your wife's going to be? Look at her mother. She's become, Susan's mother has become my mother. And she is one that I was talking about tonight that has worn herself out for us. And I just wanted to take a moment and thank her for all of us.
Thank you.
Amen.
It says she should be praised. And she will be praised by God. It didn't come easy. She followed a man that was difficult to follow. She took care of 40 kids that weren't hers plus her own. With the hope and the prayer that they would see love of God, that they would be saved. That's what wearing yourself out for the honor and glory of the Lord is. And that's what wearing yourself out for the blessing of the church. And I want to just ask you tonight, where are you and where would you like to be? Just playing around? Just sitting and rusting out? Or do you want to be a part of those few that are wearing themselves out? There's a wall in the CIA that has stars on it for those that are fallen in the service of the CIA. I can't help but think that in heaven there's going to be a wall with the stars and the names of those that wore themselves out for the Lord. Amen. I want to be on that wall. Would you? It's a decision. It doesn't happen. You can talk to her. There was days that she had to go in the back room and cry. There was days when you might think this just isn't going to be worth it. But that's wearing yourself out for the Lord. We need more people.
Amen.
We need more of God's people that said, I'll take what he's given me and I will develop it, I will perfect, and I will use it to the honor and glory of the Lord, to the edification and the building up of God's saints until I've completely worn myself out.
Well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate those words. And I know that many of you will be going back to your own church tomorrow morning for services, and we'll just have us. So I just want to take the time while we're all together to say that we appreciate the fact that you've come. And I hope that up to this point, something in these meetings has touched you. And if you're stirred, but you really don't know what to do or how you can be a part of this or what exactly God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about that right now. At this point in time, just give yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Offer yourself to him. Tell him without reserve, without hesitation. And you know, he takes that seriously. You give yourself to the Lord, and then he'll take you to the next step. And so that's our advice for you. And for those of you that have been laboring for years, we appreciate it. All you missionaries that have been giving us your burdens, we love you. We appreciate you. You